Welcome to the Linked Up Church Podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Pastor Joel Gregory comes with the second installment of his life-changing series entitled God's Plan. Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
I just want you to be encouraged today. We're resetting foundations, right? And we're reestablishing truths that have been lost, right? Because the world declares that it is evolving, but it's really evolving without God. And so what's really educating our children today is not our churches, right? It's really the internet and social media and all the games and stuff that they're playing on. So it's important that as adults, we know the truth so that we can share this truth with our children. And so things that I'll share today are things that I've actually known for a while, but I haven't released because it just wasn't time to. I was in an environment where we were trained that you share the angle of the church. And that's what you're supposed to do when you're under authority. You do what you're instructed to do, right? And you believe God, you wait on God to give you a time where he can share with you things that he's revealed to you in your life. But I can remember about 10 years ago, right before we were starting, or either we had just started, what were those services? Exploratory services we were having where I was with Apostle Frederick Price, and he said to me, he said, your church will never grow beyond your personal revelation. And so he said, you can't build your church off of another man's revelation. And so if you build it off of his revelation, then your church will only get as far as his got to, because that's all he knew. And so he was explaining to me that revelation was progressive. And you've got to get to a place where through your personal study and your personal time with God that you trust what he reveals to you, and you're not afraid to share it, even if your forefathers, you didn't hear them share it. And so everything that I share today, it needs to be judged, right? And the greatest judge is the Word of God. And so you want to make sure that what I say comes out of this book, okay? Because it is truth. But our world has evolved to a place where we no longer consider God's truth the absolute truth. Amen. And so we're talking about God's plan. And so in our introduction, we said it's always good to have a plan. God has a plan. And his plan involves a very special man. Can somebody tell me what that man's name is?
Jesus.
Come on, say it like you mean it. What's his name?
Jesus.
Man, how beautiful is that name. And so this plan goes back longer than you may think. And so we understood last week from the book of Genesis that the plan started at the beginning as we know it, but that may not be everything that was present prior to the beginning. So today we're going to start looking at a bigger picture and understanding that this plan was actually already in place before the foundation of the world. So before we ever get to Genesis, God already had a plan in place. Now, I can't go backwards to go forwards today because it's just too much information. So let's pick up with point number two today. And let's look at, we got to finish point number one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. A few things I want to highlight from what we said just very quickly. We know in Genesis chapter 1, he created male and female. Right, but what he created on there that day was their spirits, and he created their anatomy, their sexuality. So the way that you would know the difference between the male or the female was through their anatomy, right? But their bodies had not come yet. And so one thing I want to highlight is in Genesis chapter 2, he made the male before he made the female, right? And so contrary to popular belief, the grandmother is not the cornerstone of the family. The man is. And our society is in the shape that it's in today, not because of grandma, not because of mom, but because of the man's inability to be where he's supposed to be and do what he's been instructed to do. But it was never, ever her role to be the leader of the family. We'll prove that today from the Word of God. All right, so let's get into Genesis chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any other beast of the field. That word cunning means sneaky or crafty. Than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, so obviously this serpent could speak. Either the serpent could speak from the beginning or something has entered into the serpent and is speaking through the serpent. Serpent says, has God indeed said? So right away, what Satan will always attempt to do is challenge what God said. And so that's what's happening in our world and in our society today. Everyone is saying that God really didn't mean what he said or what he said, it no longer is true for today because society has evolved, right? And the church hasn't evolved with society. And all of that is a lie from the pit of hell to challenge what God actually said. So Satan comes with this strategy and he said, has God indeed said? You shall not eat, he's quoting scripture, of every tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, and he's actually accurate in what he's saying, just not fully accurate. So how many know Satan will always come with about 97% truth? But it's that 3% that'll trip people up. Okay, let's keep reading here. So he says, has God indeed said, verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, listen to her, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. See, so now she's telling the serpent what we can and what we can't do, right? If you continue reading here, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, listen to this. God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now she added to the word. She added, you can't even touch it. A couple of things I want to bring out here. How did she know what God said? Because she was not present when he said it in Genesis chapter 2. Where did she get that information from? She got that information from Adam, right? Adam told her what God said. So now you're understanding in the context of a marriage how information flows. If you have a priest in the home who spends time on his knees in prayer and in the word of God, he should be able to hear from God and instruct his family on what God said and where we're going with what God said. Everybody clear on that? So she gets this information from Adam and she's literally telling the serpent what her husband said. She just added a little piece to it with the you can't touch it part. Now, something I want to bring out as it relates to human nature. Human nature has this tendency to focus on what it can't have versus what it can have. So in this garden, there are a multitude of trees that they can enjoy. There's only one tree that they can't touch. So they bypassed all of the blessings that God had bestowed upon them to go do the one thing that he said not to do. I mean, you know, it's human nature to only focus on what you can't do and miss all the stuff that you can do. Children do it all the time, right? You bless them with a car. Right? Now, how many know it's a blessing to have a car at the age of 16? It's a blessing. Somebody ought to say amen. That's a blessing if you got your own car to drive at the age of 16, right? But the parents are going to say where you can go and where you can't go. So instead of, in a lot of cases, you know, us saying, I'm so thankful that I have a car to drive and what I've been blessed with, we can only hear, don't go downtown Atlanta at nighttime after 11. We all did it. Come on, everybody here raise their hand, right? You had a whole outside to play. Don't bring anybody in the house. You got a big park out there. Come on, somebody. You got all your friends out there. Just don't bring anybody back in the house. What do we want to do? Somebody say this is Adam and Eve's fault. It's really Adam's fault. Let's keep reading. All right, so God has said to you, now watch this now. But of the tree of the midst of the garden, watch this. God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So now the serpent is challenging what God said. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day, listen very carefully, that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God. And this piques her interest, because now this gives her a position higher than her husband's. Stay with me. You shall be like God, right? Knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eye, so he appealed to her senses, what she could see, touch, taste, hear, etc. And a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate it. Watch this. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Two words there I want you to see. With her. That means he was present the whole time. Okay. Now, for years, I'm getting ready to challenge something and debunk something. For years, what we've heard from these pulpits is that the woman was in the transgression, not the man. That's true. But God did not hold the woman responsible for what took place. He held the man.
Amen.
I'm going to prove this to you. Now, if you were here last week, if you go back to Genesis, and remember, he's with her. Go back to Genesis. God gave Adam instructions about what to do in that garden. And he said, it's your responsibility to guard, to keep it, and to protect it. That's what he told Adam to do. So that means Adam's sitting there, and he's not doing his job. What happened to Adam is he chose to look at what he could see and not listen to God. And men have been making this mistake for thousands of years. Because we're so visual, we'll follow what we see and neglect what God said. So she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, pull up Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Even though the woman was in the error, sin didn't enter the earth, because that's what that teaching will make people think. She was in the transgression, so she was at fault. And the reason we're in the situation that we're in today is because of Eve. And I'm telling you, that's inaccurate. The reason we're in the situation that we're in today is because of Adam. Now, put Romans chapter 5, verse 12 up on the screen. Romans 5, 12. Notice what it says here. Therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world. So sin didn't enter the world through Eve. Sin entered the world through Adam. And his inability to guard and protect what God said. And death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sin. So we're in the situation that we're in today because Adam didn't do his job. Amen. Which was to guard and to protect that garden. Everybody still following me?
Yes.
Say, I'm following you, Pastor. All right, let's keep traveling. So now, and you'll see this later on in how he disciplined both of them. So God says, so she said, then the serpent said to the woman, you should not surely die. God knows, right? Knowing verse 6 here. So when the woman saw that the tree was good, pleasant to the eyes, desirable, make one wise, she took, she ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate with her. So again, man chose to listen to and follow his eyes instead of listen to God and obey God. right? And men, if I've never told you anything else, right? Men still make this mistake to this day, right? Their eyes will see something, right? And they'll get lost in the moment, follow their eyes, not realize that their eyes are leading them to destruction, right? And so just because she walked past you like that and she looks good, she got all that. If you don't have this ability to go back to what God said, she'll get you every single time, right? And what you don't understand is she had already walked by five other guys before she got to you. She was just waiting to see which one was the trick. And then watch this. After she gets done with you, because all you are is a transaction, not a relationship. Somebody better say amen to me or it's going to be a long service today. I'll get to my next point if you say amen.
Amen.
All right. And so you didn't realize that. Then you didn't even realize after she left you, she had some other transactions she needed to go make. Because this is business. It's not personal. So you can take a married man who has a good woman and he'll let his eyes take him somewhere and destroy everything that God gave him for a transaction. Can we go a little further? You still glad you came to church today? How many of y'all wish you would have stayed home? You say, I got two people over there. Raise their hand. All right, let's keep going. All right, you still with me? So now watch this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good, let's drop down to verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 9. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. So now we see fear and we see hiding from God. And so if I've never told you anything else, remember, sin will always make cowards of men. Sin will make a coward out of you. And what it'll do is make you not be responsible for what you created. See, a lot of times you want all the fun, but you don't want to be responsible for what you created. So what we have is a society of fatherless children. So if you're asking what's fundamentally wrong with our society, men are not where they're supposed to be. If I can get five good hallelujah amens in here, I'll go on to the next thing I need to say. All right, so men are fundamentally in position to guard and protect everything that God put in their care because they're letting their eyes. Instead of the word of God and obeying God. So it'll always make you hide, stay away from God, run, sit in the back, don't serve, be present but unknown. I was here but I do nothing. You're always under the radar. You come in the house and you disappear. Because I don't want anybody to really find out I'm not what I present myself to be. So I come home, I go in the basement, I isolate myself. I stay in places where I can't be found out. That's not people doing that to you, that's sin doing that to you. Because sin will always make a coward out of a man. I thank God we don't have no cowards in Linked Up Church. I didn't hear enough bass with that. I said, I thank God we don't have no cowards in Linked Up Church. All right. Watch this now. So then the Lord God called unto Eve, And he said to Eve, where are you? Who did he call? But I thought Eve was in the transgression. Even though Eve was in the transgression, he's holding Adam responsible for what Eve did, because he told Adam what to do. He didn't tell Eve what to do. He told Adam what to do, and Adam didn't do it. And I believe God is still looking for and asking that same question today. Men, where are you? As it relates to your relationship with me, men, where are you? As it relates to your relationship with your parents, men, where are you? In relation to your relationship with your wife, men, where are you? In relation to your relationship with your children that you created, men, where are you? In relation to your relationship with your church, are you on your pulse? Do you serve? Will you be an usher? Will you represent my image in my church and in this earth? Where are you? Because we're not present, there's no real clear identity. So he said, Adam, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. What will sin always do? Make cowards out of men. Because I was naked, I hid myself. See, that's how you know you're out of order. You run from God instead of running to God. And he said, watch this, who told you that you were naked? Because God knows you didn't get that information from me. So listen to me, guys. It's always going to boil down to who you're listening to. See, and today we listen to what we idolize. And that's why rap, hip hop, all that has more influence than the church. And that's why you see all our young men just home, 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 home. Everything is aggression. Everything is violence. We solve all of our problems with anger and violence and aggression. You know why? Because we didn't want to be responsible for them. So we put a phone in their hand. And as long as that phone keeps them quiet and I get my time, I'm good. Because we didn't have time for that. Let's give them something to play with, right? And we let this digital world educate our child. Then after that, we put a joystick and a remote in their hand, right? Where they can see violence all day long, shooting and killing people. And they make it gory and attractive. And then in these chats are adults cussing and gang, get him, right? And all of that, right? And so spiritually, they're killing people all day long on these games. So now it's nothing for a 10-year-old to go out and act out what he's been doing all day long spiritually. 6-year-old can go right into school, pull out a gun, and shoot his teacher. That's where we're at today, folks. So you go ahead and evolve with the world. I'm staying right here with God. You all want to go a little further?
Yeah.
Still glad you came to church today.
Yeah.
All right, so watch this now. Watch what he does here, right? So he went and hid himself, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you? Notice he didn't say nothing about Eve. Which I commanded you that you should not eat. Then the man said, look at this. What is he unwilling to do? Accept responsibility for his actions. Now, he didn't just blame the woman. He blamed God. Right? How you know you're getting caught up in that? When you start saying, God, why did you let this happen to me? God, if you loved me, why am I in this? So he said, the woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Somebody say wrong. So a lot of times, folks, can I just tell you the truth? So a lot of times we take the very things that were meant to be a blessing to us, and we allow them to replace the God who blessed us with it. So you remember when you didn't have a job, you were believing God, you come to prayer, you be in here serving, right? Then you get that job. When's the last time you seen such and such? You get a little money. Come on, somebody. Got your nice little car now. Ain't got time for church. Ain't got time for God. I got to be out in these streets. Believing God for a house. Living with your parents. Right? Get the house. Disappear.
My Lord.
Very thing he blessed you with, you used it to replace him. When you didn't realize that was just the first of many houses. Had you used it to serve him. So he said, the woman you gave me, that's why this happened. So the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So everybody's blaming everybody, right? Nobody's accepting responsibility. Does that movie sound familiar to anybody today? All right. So I want to share a quick story here. My wife and I, she knew the people better than I did, and was presented with an investment opportunity. And so she comes to me and shares it with me, and we ended up putting over six figures in this investment situation. It's a lot of money, right? And so how many of y'all know my wife loves me? She means well. Her intent is good, right? And right, so she presents that to me. I pray about it, and what I get is I don't have peace about that. Right? But she felt strongly about it. So what I ended up doing, watch this. I went with her, and I didn't obey God. We lost all of that. Okay, watch this, though. Not once, that's why I waited till she was in the service, did I blame her. She never heard that come out of my mouth, did you? I said, this is on me, because I actually knew. So I protected her, and then I said, now me and you together, what we're going to do is repent from that, and watch this, repurpose it. Amen. So now we're not going to say someone stole anything from us. We're going to sow it as seed. How fast did we get that money back? 5 to 10 times over. Over a 3-year period, 3 to 5-year period, 5 to 10 times over, because I accepted responsibility for what happened in my house, even though I wasn't the one that initiated
it.
See, a good man is going to push his family to the side, protect them. Even if they wrong, he's still going to go outside and take all the bullets. He's going to do all the talking. Come on, somebody. He's going to confront whatever danger is at the door. Come on, somebody. He's going to keep whatever is not supposed to be in his house He's going to keep it at bay and keep his family behind him. So because I had already knew that and I had already learned that, I actually knew how to respond in that moment. Because, see, that could have destroyed a lot of marriages. You cost us all, blah, 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 blah. Right? I said over six figures. Not $5,000 here. I'm not talking about a little money. $10,000. I'm not talking about $50,000. I'm talking about over six figures that we took out of our savings and put in this. Only difference between myself and Adam, and that's, I'm not bringing no glory to me. It's because I had already learned this. I just hadn't been sharing it publicly. I just had enough sense to know not to blame her. And still accept full responsibility for what happened in my house. It was still on my watch. Everybody still with me out there? How many men do I have in this building today? All right. So we don't do that. We don't turn and talk about if you wouldn't have, we wouldn't be in this situation. We don't do that, man. We stand up and we say, no, we're in this situation now. Let me go spend a little time with God, pray. Let me hear what God has to say, and we're going to get us out of this situation. Okay? Everybody still with me? All right, let's keep traveling. Woman said it was the snake, so everybody's blaming everybody. And then the Lord God said to the serpent. Now, all parents know in reality, the discipline that we apply to our children is to correct the behavior. Is that accurate? Right. So really, the discipline should match the behavior that we're trying to correct. We're not just beating kids to be beating them and just doing stuff. Right. We're really trying to come up with a discipline that will correct the behavior. And sometimes that doesn't have anything to do with spanking a child. Right. And so God is the ultimate father. So when you watch how he disciplines each one of them, you'll understand what behavior he's correcting. All right, let's keep traveling. So the Lord said God to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go. So obviously the snake used to stand straight up. So now on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And then he begins to prophesy about this event that we're about to celebrate in 2 weeks. This was prophesied over 2,000 years ago. Let's read. And he says, and I will put enmity, that's hostility, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. You'll see the seed in her seed is capitalized. You all see that? If it's not on your translation, just look right up on the screen. So what he's saying here, there will be hostility between your descendants and your offspring, that's what the word seed means, and her descendants and her offsprings. So it's really prophesying that through Adam's lineage, there will be a savior. Watch what he goes on to say. Then he's going to tell them what they're going to do to each other. So then he says here, between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, right? He is capitalized, referring to one of her descendants who we know to be Jesus. Now, bruise there, he's going to literally obliterate your head. So how many of y'all know when you cut the head off, everything else dies?
That's right.
When is he going to do that? Through his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Then watch what he says. But you shall bruise his heel. You'll notice you is not capitalized. So your descendants, or you through your descendants, will bruise his heel. Well, what is to bruise his heel? The crucifixion. How many of you know the heel, you don't die through the crucifixion, right? You get bruised. You remember what Jesus said? I know this is a lot for you to take. He said, no man takes my life. What did he say? I lay it down. But what else did he say? I also pick it back up. So Satan couldn't kill Jesus. He could only be a part of God's plan for him to lay it down temporarily and then raise it back up. Somebody ought to give God a real good shout in this place today, right? This is all the way back in Genesis. All right? Now watch this. And then to the woman, he said, listen very carefully, women, because I'm getting ready, ladies, I'm getting ready to explain to you the foundation of all problems in all relationships, in particular marital. And show you what the root cause of it is. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, let's read it. Now remember, if God is disciplining, he's trying to correct a what?
Behavior.
All right, let's look at what behavior he's correcting. He says, because you have done this, or to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. So what should have been easy and pain-free, now you'll have sorrow in it. In pain, you shall bring forth children. But let me be clear. In Jesus, you get all of this back. In Timothy, he said, and you'll be saved in childbearing. So once you get in Christ, you can get back to this garden. Right? So in pain you shall bring forth children, watch this, and your desire shall be to your husband. But he shall what? So obviously, let's look at what this word desire means. Desire means an attempt to usurp control or authority. So the woman got out of place and out of order when she got ahead of the man. What it was an attempt there to do was to change the order. And that's how mama became the leader in the family. And that's how grandma became the leader in the family. And the battle of the sexes began right here. You know what couples are fighting over? Who's in control? Instead of understanding, neither one of you are in control. God is in control. Come on, man. I need somebody to follow me in here, right? So what you should have is two people who recognize when we fight each other, we're fighting ourselves because the two became one. So whatever I say to you, I said to myself. Whatever I do to you, I did to myself. If I destroy you, I'm destroying myself. So wisdom would tell them then, we are not each other's enemy. Let's get the enemy out of here and let's get together. So then what's the solution to that? Ephesians chapter 5, right? Don't turn there because we're getting close to out of time. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 25, I got time to share all this stuff later. I'm quoting right now. But I love that you all are following, though. Every head in here. So he said, right, he said, submitting one to another, watch this, in the fear of God. So at some point, we both got to realize we're both wrong. And we need to find out what God said about this situation and do what God said and submit to him. Then it'll be easier for us to submit to each other. Now, let me help you, man. It's going to be tough for her to believe what you're telling her if she don't see your love for God. She's coming to church is not demonstrating that. She's got to see your prayer life. She's got to see you get up early in the morning. Come on, somebody, and go into somewhere and open up something and get before something greater than yourself. Because if you don't do that, then you're the greatest thing that you know, and that is scary. She's got to see that, and she's got to trust that you can come out of there having heard from God and then give directions about what we're supposed to do as a family. You make it easy for her to submit to you. It's easy for a woman to follow a man who's following God. It is very challenging for her to watch you beat your chest and talk about you the man and you the man of this household. And she don't see you serve God. She don't see you pray before God. Come on, somebody. She don't see none of that. So what is God doing? He's resetting the order. So in our marriage, there's equality, but in our home, there has to be order. So she can, my wife, she can speak very strongly. She has very strong opinions. Somebody got to make that final decision. Right? And if we can't come to an agreement, she's got to defer. Amen. Unless I say, let's both go pray a little more and see if we can hear a little longer. Amen. Somebody got to make that final decision. Yes. Something I say to her all the time, I can look myself in the mirror if we fail doing something I believed we were supposed to do. I can't look myself in the mirror if we fail and I did something you wanted us to do. No different in this church, folks. There's not two heads in here. Amen. Just like it's not two fathers in a home. Amen. Somebody's got to hear from God. Hello, somebody. And instruct where we're going. Right? And sometimes people misplace that because the staff spends more time with them executing the vision than the leader does. So then that'll puff up the staff. I'm running this. Who running this? Watch this. Ain't none of us running this. Guess who's running this? But he has to have order. Because he doesn't operate in confusion. So the moment we start bucking each other, he got to leave out of that.
Amen.
It ain't going to never flow in this church through her out to the people. Just trying to help you all. It's going to always flow this way out to the people. And they execute. And ladies, you got to be okay with that. See, and Satan's just trying to change the order, right? I went and took a physical on yesterday, right? Praise God for a good physical, right? But it's amazing now on these charts what you have to fill out. It used to just be male and female. Now it's a list of stuff that somebody could identify as that wasn't in the beginning. Then they ask you, are you married? Then it's a list of what are you, you know, what is that marriage? Are you sexually active? And then it's a list of stuff, right? I won't say the names, so people, you know, I won't say the names. So the doctor and I, we were having he was a Christian, having a real good conversation. My doctor actually wasn't present. He stepped in. You still want to do your physical? Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm healthy. All right? Didn't matter. And so we're having this conversation about just origin, anatomy. And so at the end of the day, folks, I know this not going to sound, but it's the truth. At the end of the day, this is a exit area, not an entry area. That light is in my eyes. And so if I'm in the right place, can I get a real good amen? Somebody in church, somebody say. And what started that conversation was I told him, I said, Doc, is one part about this physical that I really don't like. I said, I'm going to ask you, just don't say these words to me. Don't say, can you bend over? I know what to do when we get to that part. Don't say that to me. And still, Minister Johnny, when I had to do that, and he got to, you know, check, he got to do that, right? I felt so violated when I came through the door. I said, babe, come here for a minute. She said, what's wrong, baby? I said, just hold me. Reaffirm me. I feel like I've been violated. Am I right or wrong? Is that not how I came in the house? But we were having an interesting conversation. Now, this is a doctor talking. Because they can associate certain diseases and problems in your body based off of your sexual preferences. And I'll leave that alone. And he went on to talk about when this area becomes an entry area, how much disease a person opens themselves up to. Because it wasn't a part of his plan. That's man's plan. You all still glad you came to church? Do you want me to go a little further? Because I'm out there now. You just say, Pastor, you're already out there now. Say, just keep going. I sure will. So watch what he says to the man. Then to Adam, he said, watch this now. Now, he's correcting the behavior, right? Listen to this, Jerome. He's correcting the behavior. He says to the man, because you listen to the voice of your wife. See, it's above his. Because how many know we should listen to our wives, but never above his? So he said, because you listen to the voice of your wife and you've eaten of the tree, watch this, which I commanded you, not her. See, going back to that. Saying, you shall not eat of it. Adam, I gave you everything in this garden to enjoy. I just gave you one tree that I told you not to touch. You couldn't do that. Because you chose to put woman over me. I want you to listen, man. This is the mistake that we've been making for thousands of years. Putting the woman before God.
Amen.
So we don't believe in not sleeping with somebody before we get married. Because she's before him. Can I just make it real plain to you? So now we make our own rules, but still go to church. We make our own rules and still say we're Christian. Because I listen to her more than I listen to him. I know it's tight, but it's right. And so therefore, all of this left out of the church because man was out of place. So when man got out of place, the church went, which makes the community go, makes the school system go. Come on, somebody. And then we're going back to the world for solutions when judgment starts at the house of God. So there are no social programs to fix this, folks. You can throw all the money you want to throw at this stuff. There are no social programs to fix this. This is a moral issue that must be solved morally.
Amen. Amen.
Fellas, listen. Listen to what he said to Adam. Cursed is the ground for your sake. For in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles. See, it used to be easy. He used to just speak to it, and it yielded what he said. Now he's got to work hard. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return to the ground. Remember what he made him out of was dirt, right? So look at what he said. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. So now death was inevitable. But how many know it wasn't a part of God's original plan? But now we get it back through Jesus, where even though we put down these physical bodies, what he originally created lives forever. Come on, somebody ought to thank God for that. Come on, I said somebody ought to thank God for that, right? Now, what was all of this motivated by? right? Let's get to point number two, and it won't take me long. God's plan, love was here before the foundation of the world. And again, I'll prove it later on, but God created man also understanding the weakness of man, which is why he had a plan in place before man ever stepped foot on the earth. Right? Now, we understand this as parents. How many of y'all expect your parents, your kids, to be perfect? No, none of us do. Do we know they're going to make mistakes?
Yes.
No doubt about it, right? And do we put things in place to help them get back on track?
Yes.
Right? There's always a redemption strategy in place as parents that if kids repent and they want to drink the act right juice, hello, somebody, what will we as parents do? Help them along that path. And they have the ability to get back to where they were even though they messed up along the way. We'll help them get back to where they were originally supposed to be. Right? Well, see, God is no different. Okay? Now, watch this. God's plan. Love was here before the foundation of the world. Let's prove this. So this phrase, before the foundation of the world, was spoken three times in the scriptures. The first time by Jesus, second time by Paul, the third time by Peter. So it's only three times. But how do we form doctrine? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we can form doctrine off of this because it's said three different times. So what does this tell us about God's plan before creation ever existed? Let's look at the first instance. Let's look at St. John chapter 17, not 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Let's look at St. John chapter 17, verse 24. The context here, this is Jesus' final prayer before he ascends back to the Father. And he prays this prayer in John 17, 24. He says, Father, I desire that they whom you've given me or gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me, what are those words there? Before the foundation of the world. So before there was Genesis, there was love and there was Jesus. Because God is love. So before we ever read Genesis, how many know God the Father and God the Son were already present? Everybody clear? So really what we read is the known world as we understand it.
Right.
But God was always here. Yes. Now what we just read, Jesus was too.
Yes.
All right. So this first instance of this phrase before the foundation of world is given by Jesus himself. And what does it speak of? It speaks about God's love. Now, let's understand God's love. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to read two verses, verse 6 and verse 16, out of the New King James Version. All right, follow along. It says, for we are of God. Do I have anyone in here that is of God? Saved, born again. All right, praise God. Give God a real good hallelujah in this place. Okay, now let's keep reading, because in 1 John chapter 4, there are two tests to test what you just said. First test we won't read, but it's found in the first three verses, 1, 2, and 3. That test is this. Will you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And it says anyone who won't do that has what's called the spirit of the Antichrist. So if you ever want to locate somebody or you want to test what they believe, ask the specific question, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Because what most people will say is they believe he came, but he was not God. He was just a good prophet. He was just like everybody else, but he wasn't God. That's the first test. Here's the second test. Let's look at verse 6 and verse 16. So we are of God. He who knows God, watch this, hears us. So it's just like in this moment right now, what these disciples or what John is saying here, when people who know God will hear the word of God ministered from us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is this way. When the truth of the word of God is preached, do you believe it or don't you believe it? right? And so a lot of times, and it happens here too, people will write me a letter, but your issue is not with me, your issue is with God. So you should take those same verses and take them back to God. Do not present them to me. Because when I read these letters, people are taking a little bit of truth and twisting it.
Right.
To fit their situation. Right? And so now I've got to pray about, should I answer this or should I not? Right? So now I got to go look at other verses. Other verses tell me, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that you do gender strife. So when I'm dealing with an unlearned question, me answering that could create more strife in this situation than love. So then I might have to back up and ask God again, give me the wisdom on this situation. And then he might take me as he did with me. He'll take me over and show me that Satan has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. So then he'll tell me to step back and pray for what's blinding their eyes so that the truth of my gospel can get to their heart. But don't have a conversation with them and don't respond to them. Just pray for them. Because sometimes the conversation is going to create more strife. Because people want what they want. And they want to justify what they want to justify. Then he says here in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love of God, that the love that God has for us. So something about this. If you learn how to develop faith in the love of God that he has for you, it'll release all anxiety in your life, right? Because one of the real attributes of God's love is that it never fails. And so if I'll just really trust and put all my faith in how much God loves me, I mean, I don't have to worry about things because I know God loves me too much to allow me to stay in this situation. Right? And so that's all he's saying here. We've known and we believe the love that God has for us. Do you know and believe the love that God has for you?
Yes.
I'm telling you, he can get you a job. He can boost your career. He can get you a relationship. He can get you whatever it is. God loves you so much, he will help you fulfill his plan in your life.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that, right? And all John is saying is, I've known that and I believe it. Then he says this, for God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him.
Amen.
Right? So if I'm abiding in God and God's abiding in me and God is love and love never fails and I'm in love with God and God is in love with me, then I can't fail.
Yes.
Don't mean I won't go through anything, but the end result of that is I'm coming out a winner on the other side. Come on, do I have anybody in here that believes that today? If I just stay on God's side, yeah, it doesn't look good right now, but I'm going to stay with God, right? And keep doing it God's way. Eventually, I'm going to end up with his results. All right, now let's look at one more and we'll close right here for today. Let's look at one more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so on that chapter 4, 1 John 4 note, so before there was time, before there was matter, before there was angels, before there was humanity, before there was water, before there was mountains, there was love. So before he created anything, which tells you then his motive for creating all of that was that he loved us. And he wanted to create a world that we could enjoy. That's why he gave us dominion over it. And we let this no tooth walking around like a roaring lion, but he's not one, tell us something slightly different than what God said. And we ran off with that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 and 7, 4 through 7. So long, love suffers long. We have a tendency to be short with the people we love the most. You ever notice that? All nice to the world, but mean to your spouse. Nice to the world, but mean when you come in the house. All right? So love suffers long and it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Watch this. But rejoices in the truth.
Hallelujah.
So y'all missed that. So when love, somebody that's abiding in love, who is God, and God is abiding in them, when they hear truth, they rejoice. They don't just sit there like a bump on a rock. I mean, they are like, Pastor, that's the truth right there. That is good right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They literally rejoice in that truth. That in the beginning, God made them male and female. They rejoice when they hear that. Oh, man, they see that. You ain't getting that in here, though. But they rejoice when they hear that. Still, you can't get that. You see that? I'm just showing you where we are. When people hear truth, they rejoice in it. It doesn't make them mad. It doesn't make them angry. Come on, somebody. It doesn't make them not like their pastor. Come on, somebody. No, the proper response is they rejoice when they hear truth, right? And all I'm saying is let's let God know whose side we're on, right? So if you're not on God's side, you stay quiet, you keep your mouth shut, you stay in your seat, right? But if you are on God's side, man, then let's rejoice in the truth that we have heard. Come on, somebody give God glory in this place. Everybody else stay seated. Everybody else keep your mouth quiet. Everybody else, don't you say a word. Don't get up to please nobody. Don't get up to make somebody think you're something that you're not. No, if you are, then rejoice and give God glory in this place. It's a locator. It's an indicator. It's a test of which side you're on. Did that truth make you mad? Did it give you a problem with the person that was sharing? See, what is it doing to you? Are you there? I'm not standing up, sitting up. He ain't gonna make me do nothing. It's a locator. See, and just me saying something like that, making you mad at me. But it's not me saying it to you. It's God showing you the condition of your heart. It's not that you can't open up your mouth. Satan won't let you. That's what the reality of that is. Because we were created to praise God. That's why he created us. So when you don't, it's because not because you can't. Something's fighting you. And it's not God, because he created you. He said, if you draw nigh to me, then I'll draw nigh to you. See, you like reality TV, don't you? That's why you watch it all day, all night. I'm promising you, every time you come in this building, you're going to get reality preaching. And reality teaching. And I'm not going to be scared of it. So I'm telling you, you can sit there and look at me like that all you want to. I promise you I'm not scared of you, man. I promise you I'm not scared of you. Not one ounce of me is scared of any human being on this earth. Never have been and never will be. Right? I'm just helping you see yourself. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That's God's kind of love. See, it endures all things. All right? So we don't understand covenant anymore. That's why the divorce rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world. See, what I have to understand is that this is my covenant partner. And when I signed that, I entered into a covenant with her. Right? The only way we get out of that covenant is death. Or he returns. But I'm not going anywhere. You can walk in front of me, say whatever. I'll say something back to you. If you try to come, against this, watch what I do. I'll take a picture of you and I'll put it up on that screen next Sunday. And I'll say, if anybody in this building sees this woman right here walking around, stay away from her. Because she's trying to destroy covenants. The greatest gift I can give to my wife is not a big house, a big car, a lot of money. The greatest gift I can give to my wife is a faithful husband who never dishonored her or cheated on her our whole lives. That's the greatest gift I can give her. Now, how many know if I give her that gift, all the rest of that stuff is going to follow that? I'm done. We'll pick up with point number 3 on next week. You all still glad you came to church today? Come on, one more time. Let's rejoice. Let's give God a real good praise in this place. Come on, let's rejoice in the truth of the word of God today. Come on, God didn't change, and we're not changing. I don't care what this world evolves into. Listen to me very carefully. I don't care what this world evolves into. This church is not evolving with it. So you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision because we're not changing. I'm staying with God. So if God be for you, then serve him. But if he's not, then quit playing with this. Stop coming every week. Right? Be what you're going to be. But don't come in here and play around. So we can be about the business of building God's kingdom. We don't have time to be fishing through who's who and what's what. I never liked those kind of people when I was in the world. Either be real or be phony. But don't play around in the middle, man. You ain't going to get no respect in the middle. Be one or the other. And so I set before you today, life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your seed can live. But the choice is yours. I don't have a political agenda. I don't have a political platform. I'm not pushing anything but hope and the word of God. I can't be bought. You can come in here. You can try to tell me I can make you $5 million. I'm going to tell you, keep your $5 million. And let's build this kingdom. So the choice is yours. Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away and you're desiring to come back to Christ today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died, rose from the grave, and he is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth and what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name." Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text Get Connected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.